Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Welcome back, brave souls and seekers of the spectral. Gather round as we creep into the darkened corridors of one of the most haunted havens on this side of the hemisphere. Nestled on a bluff overlooking the sleepy town of Radford, Virginia, this imposing structure has stood as a silent sentinel to suffering and madness. A repository of despair since its days as a boys' school, and later as a sanatorium for the mentally troubled. The walls are said to echo with the tormented spirits of its past, souls shackled by tragedy and heartbreak, who now roam its abandoned halls. They say the air is thick with the energy of the misunderstood and the mistreated, making it a magnet for those who dare to communicate with the beyond. Tonight, join the Fearless as we venture into the eye of Virginia's maelstrom of madness for another chapter of Spooktober. So clutch your crucifix close as we dare to disturb the denizens of the damned.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing, Case File 335, the St. Albans Sanatorium.
I'm Braden.
I'm Zill.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Deep in the thicket of Spooktober, spooky season's upon us once again, all across the land, spooky all month, and another spooky case file. Listen, we got to give a quick shout out at the beginning of the show to Bandito. It's her birthday. Longtime theorite. I'm giving her a shout out at the beginning of the show because another theorite threatened to riot and I don't want him to hurt himself. that's why I'm doing that. I don't want to hurt himself. He's going to pull something. But happy birthday to you, Bandito.
Happy birthday.
Cheers to you.
Happy birthday.
I think she's the keeper of all histories of ATT.
Absolutely.
She knows, keeper. She knows everything.
She knows the show more better than
she
we do.
She knows the show better than us.
Absolutely. True.
She was like the other day, she was like, happy 9-year anniversary. I was like, what?
9 years, yeah.
I was like, is that factual? Is this real?
Goddamn, 9 years?
Yeah, I don't know. It's insane.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
9 years. What the fuck was I doing 9 years ago?
We all just recounted our life. What's happened?
What have I done in 9 years?
Yeah. Well, what do I have to show for this? Nothing.
More about the most haunted places.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about another one.
And today, it's like we're talking about, if not the most haunted place of all time.
Of all time. I think.
Of all time. Anywhere.
We've done like most haunted states, most haunted in America, and Canada. We've done England. I think this takes the cake.
Yeah, it's also most haunted. It holds the record of most haunted Virginia. Holds the record for most haunted sanatorium.
Yeah.
Right?
Most haunted in Virginia is like a big title.
That's true.
Right? That's right.
A lot of shit went down.
Spooky shit going on in Virginia.
That's true. I mean, if you're not ever in Colonial Williamsburg, yeah. Getting your photo snapped by lion.
Yeah, skull lion.
Skull lion.
The ghostographer himself.
You ain't lying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about the St. Albans Sanatorium. This place is actually, it's located in Radford, Virginia, which is the same town. Well, not exactly in Radford, but near, like next to put it exactly. Adjacent. Because I know where it is because
you were there.
Well, yeah, I went to Radford University.
And you look like a guy that would go to a boys' school.
Yeah, it was an all-girls school.
Wait, hold on.
It used to be an all-girls school. Hold on,
Dan, we could be hitting way different markets if we knew this before.
It used to be an all-girls school. I think it used to be mostly for like nursing and teacher, like women going to nursing and teachers. It used to be kind of like the sister school to Virginia Tech. And then it still kind of is, but then they made it, it's both. You can put men and women at the school. They opened it up like years ago. But
are we talking about St. Albans here? You went to St. Albans?
Yeah. No, I'm talking about Radford University, which is right there next to it.
Right there next to it.
So I knew about it. Like, I remember people would talk about it usually around Halloween and stuff. I always remember talking either about that one and then like another one. But I do remember that one of my friends invited me to a lecture. They invited a speaker. It was right around Halloween, and he was a spirit medium, I think was his official title or something like that. And he talked about they went on a tour there, and he had some kind of crazy stories about what went on when they were in there, which kind of lines up with a lot of the stuff that people say about this. Yeah, some stuff. Like, it spelt some stuff as well as, like, saw things happen to people that were in there, and it was pretty spooky. I was like, oh, okay, all right, might be on something.
It's lending a little credibility to the story. Is that what
I was like, well, I mean, at least, like some corroborating evidence and being like, okay, well, some creepy stuff's gone down in there. So when I heard about it, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. The history of
I did go to an all-girls school. Right. Weird time of my life.
No, Dan only knows that because he was creeping through the bars of the sanatorium when he was lodged in there in his formative years.
The history of the land that the sanatorium is actually built on goes back to at least 1775, where you have, a really good way to start this off is with a good old fashioned massacre. The Draper Meadow Massacre took place on this land or near this land, which was kind of goes back where there was, this is all the way back to the French and Indian War.
Yeah.
Where you
and had like 1775, those were quick deaths, right? Like, it wasn't just people dying in agony on a field.
This one like kind of goes back. So, if you have around that time, like there was the animosity of like both the local Native American tribes and the like European settlers that were coming into the area were kind of like at an all time high. They're already infringing. Pretty pissed. They were already fighting with the French. Like the French and the British were already fighting, so the French were already pissed off, and then got everybody riled up. And yeah, so it's like. you had the Shawnee, were the one of the Native American tribes that were around the area, and they had already like in that area there was like they had settled and had been pushed out, and then you had British settlers or people who were like under the British crown coming in. And then already kind of, they had a battle, around July 9th, like earlier that year, and of 1775, where you had like at least like 1,300 British soldiers that were under the command of General Edward Braddock that got, pretty much whipped by French troops and Shawnee.
I like how you wrote in the notes, decisively defeated, as if it was some sort of pickup game where they packed up and they're like, oh, wow, boys, we got to recoup after this one. Not all 1,300 brutally murdered is how it should have been.
Well, that's not even like the reference to the Draper's Massacre isn't like that battle. It's actually what happened was there was an attack later that year on some of the like a settlement. There was a Draper's Meadow settlement that was there in Southwest Virginia. And that's on the site of what is present day Blacksburg, which is where Virginia Tech is built. But apparently this was, it was raided by a group of Shawnee warriors who killed at least four people, including an infant, as like, as reports are, like as the reports go, and then like captured five more and like hauled them off.
And like there's an account of a Mary Draper Ingalls, who's one of the people that were actually kidnapped and escaped. And she's, it's a pretty wild story. She was one of those that was held for ransom by the Shawnee. Before she was taken prisoner, Mary had firsthand witnessed the gruesome deaths of fellow colonists, including her mother and her sister-in-law's baby. Though their variations is all accounts, like this was ridiculously crazy. Eleanor was tomahawked and scalped. Betty Draper's infant child was brained against the side of a cabin. And then this lady's a fucking badass though, because Mary eventually managed to flee from her captors. But her journey back home wasn't easy. Some sources say that she was forced to abandon the baby she'd given birth to in captivity. Others claim that her fellow escapee, a German woman, attempted to eat her twice. And it apparently her and this German lady, it took them, it was a 43 day journey and over 100,000 miles. Or sorry, 1,000 miles. Not
1,000. Yeah, they walked around the earth. Walked around the earth four times. Miles.
A couple trips. Yeah.
1,000 miles.
Classic, classic women.
equally impressive. But, and then it was cool about this too, Dan, when I was looking into this, the massacre and stuff. So apparently, you'll probably know this because you're from this area. The river that flows through that, it's called the New River, but apparently it's not new at all because it's literally one of the oldest rivers in the history of the world. Like the Nile's maybe the only one that's older than this place. So you think about that. It's got like literally one of the oldest fucking rivers running through it, which means this is the area that whatever settlers would be going to, you know, throughout all of time since the dawn of humanity, right? In this area. So there's going to be fucking violence from the jump at this place. Right? Like there's been people dying in this area.
Stacked on top. Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hauntings on hauntings.
It's not even soil. It's just crushed bone is basically what you're walking on.
And then Dan, are you done talking about the massacre? Cause I got something else to fucking add to this horrible area.
Yeah, no. I'm done with the massacre stuff. Yeah.
I don't know if like Dan, you might be a Civil War buff, but
the Renaissance Fair every year, I believe.
Yeah, Confederate, right?
I go to the Civil War reenactments.
So this area, which is going to later be the fucking site of St. Albans Sanatorium, was also the exact place that the Battle of Cloyd's Mountain took place, which was one of the most significant battles fought in Southwest Virginia. So basically, here's a little description of what happened. Early fighting at Cloyd's Mountain appeared to favor the Confederates and their strong defensive position, but persistent Union attacks eventually broke through, forcing the Confederates to retreat. The battle lasted one fierce hour, so only an hour, devolving into brutal hand-to-hand combat. One participant recalled most of the regiments engaged in it had several... they had engaged in several important battles prior to this, but this had been by far the most fierce battle that they've ever been into. Making matters worse, a fire broke out on the battlefield right after, which basically wiped out all the wounded fucking people.
Fucking sounds like Woodstock 2 or whatever.
Yeah, so they fucking burned to death. Casualties were in the...
Was Limp Bizkit playing? What happened here?
But listen to this, like the battle took place for a fucking hour. And you look at the casualties, the Union army lost 688 members and the Confederates lost 538.
Dude, are you still...
Over 1,000 deaths in an hour.
Is this still like packing, like you're packing your guns, like you're...
Yeah, for sure.
So that's a long time.
Then
that's
fucking, you're slapping guys across with gloves.
Just bayonets.
To death.
It's like the first probably like 15 minutes of them shooting at each other. Then the rest is like you're using that thing as a club.
Hacking each other.
It devolves real quick.
Well, yeah. I like you would imagine more people died after war, right? Yeah. Like getting infections and shit from wounds or losing limbs. But like to have over 1,000 people die in less than an hour.
That's a lot of
trap souls. That's fucking nuts.
Trap souls there for sure.
This is why I'm always impressed when people are like, like Virginia is like sites probably has more sites of the Civil War battle like of any of the states, and it's just like you can't turn anywhere in like where near where I live and you can't like see a Civil War marker, like history marker, like there was a battle fought here, and it's like 10 feet and there was a battle fought here. It's like everywhere. So it's like, I don't know, this whole fucking state is haunted. If you'd be like, oh, this is the most haunted place in Virginia, then it pretty fucking haunted.
Well, if that area is haunted and there's a river that runs through it, now that river is haunted, that river continues downstream. Yeah. Anyone who drinks that water.
Oh, it's right. You're haunted all downstream.
Haunted all downstream.
You're leaking.
This is how curses work.
We discussed this last time. Haunting the water supply. Curse water. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, the new river is pretty cool. The new river is pretty neat. Where I went to University of Radford, like the new river actually ran past like our sports complex, and you could just like hop in, and people, you would just like take a tube down there or a raft or something, and you could just like raft down and then come back.
It was
like
a sea of curses.
Yeah. Just tons of ghosts. Just, you know, stuff reaching up from the bottom to grab
you. It's like when Frodo falls in the water and all the fucking hands are grabbing him every time you go in that river.
Don't
look into the lights.
So the St. Albans Sanatorium wasn't always a sanatorium. It began, the building itself began as a boys' school, and the facility was built as St. Albans Lutheran Boys' School in 1892. So there's apparently the boys' school like quickly developed a reputation where it was like kind of... It was a very athletics-focused school cases.
Bullies.
Oh, yeah.
Major.
Well, apparently bullying was like, not only was it condoned, but it was fucking encouraged.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like, it was one of those times where it was like, they were kind of, even though the school was like lauded for its like, it would get a lot of like football scholarships and things like this. It was like, there was still this, you know, undertow.
A lot of suicides.
There's definitely like there's reports of that stuff kind of happening where the bullying was and you can imagine it's just one of those ties like
a lot back of deaths during due that to time fucking swirlies
drowning due to swirly
But like the school itself, I mean, did relatively well until you had the actual
they were winning football championships.
That's
all that matters.
It was a competitive school, like the competitive nature. So not just like in academics and sport and just locker room brawl.
So the school ended up closing, after I think the founder had died and then a couple of years after that,
they made fun of him. He killed himself.
Every time these kids finished school, they'd be like, these kids didn't fucking learn anything. They've all got CTE.
What are we doing here? Dummies. It's like after within like, you know, a couple of, like, I don't know, it was like 10, 11
but
years.
Goddamn, them boys can play football.
As long as they're winning.
Yeah. I mean, has things really changed?
No, not at all.
Let's be honest.
The bullying has just gone online.
If you can throw a pig skin in the Southern states, dude, you're diplomatic immunity.
Well, it's like the only difference is now you have degrees in like basket weaving. Like, we got to get these guys through school somehow.
We got to get them paying those outrageous tuition fees.
If you don't pass your basket weaving class, unfortunately, son, you're not going to be able to play in tomorrow night's game. You got to score an A or higher on this basket.
So the school ended up closing its doors officially in 1911. And then 5 years later, this is when it was reopened as a psychiatric infirmary. Now, this is where the story kind of, I think, takes a turn where it's like, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right?
For sure.
This is a story that is definitely, that is the moral here, where
it's kind of the story of any kind of one of these places.
You know what, though? Like, that's the thing. And I do see where you're going with the good intentions. But at the same time, too, I also see a little bit of fucking cheap labor. Farming, fucking, you know what I mean? Like, it looks like they might be making some money off these fucking crazies.
Well, I think at the beginning, when they first opened it, they're like, hey, finally, we have a spot to put these people. And everything was going pretty well. They're like, hey, this is working out. These people have somewhere. And then they're like,
we can make money off this.
We finally got a place for these women and that talk like, too much.
And then, they're like, grandma's talking a little too much. They're like, dump her off at the sanatorium. And then I think the problems start from there, where it's just like the population in this place, just like, because of the success and, you know, this good stories coming out, they're like, there's a bowling alley. You'll be fine there, grandma. Don't you worry.
Get me and then, out of here. Listen, fucking lobotomy at noon.
Oh, you hurt your wrist?
Come on.
You hurt your wrist? Well, now you're going to have a sore back because you just pulled landscaping duty. It's basically what was going on.
Yeah, the doctor that founded the St. like, or, you know, reopened the facility as St. Albans Sanatorium was Dr. John C. King, who had previously had done a stint as a superintendent of the Southwestern Lunatic Asylum. And at his time at that institution, he had felt that, like, he was very dissatisfied with how that place was run. And he was like, I think that people, his whole idea or his whole mentality was that the patients that come to these, to go to these facilities need to be treated better. Like, he felt like they were not being treated as well as they could and that they should have way better conditions. Listen,
which is saying at this time, it's like, yeah, he's saying it's poor. And then what he proposes is still terrible. Today's standard, like, you're like, yeah, that much better.
Hey, listen, it's way easier to push a little fucking electroshock therapy if you got bowling.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Like,
yeah, and it's like, I think it's probably relative because it's like, the idea is, like, those places, it's like, you're like, they were like chaining them to walls, you know? It's like where you had people, like, you just chain them into a cell and just like leave them there. And then they get three meals a day and then
that's
get
definitely going to cure them from being crazy.
You know? Yeah.
Confine them, chain them up, throw them away. Like,
that's where, gonna get them crazy. Whereas Dr. John C. King, he felt that was necessary, that like that these places should be for rehabilitation, you know, and comfortable, most of it. So a number of renovations that he made to the facility are things like he had them install a rooftop garden. Nice. He had them, like you guys mentioned, the bowling alley. There was a bowling alley for recreation installed in the basement of the building.
Everyone also knows psychiatric patients love to roll.
Yeah, it's therapeutic bowling. You
know? That sound of a strike, man. That's nothing better.
Nothing says comfort like lobotomies. Right? Let's sever the fucking frontal lobe. We don't need that.
You don't need the frontal lobe to bowl.
No.
So yeah, and so like we mentioned already, you know, these lobotomies and therapies were eventually like instituted there. These were considered cutting edge for the day. You know, these were like, okay, these are what are going to, you know, fix these patients that are here. So, but of course, like by our standards now, and we know probably in, like within a couple of years, I think people realize that a lot of these treatments that these vulnerable patients were undergoing were actually very much inhumane and like cruel.
There's nothing wrong, with drilling a hole into your skull and fishing around in there, yeah, trying to fix someone.
Yeah, well, not only that.
They didn't have to go through the skull though, right? They went through the eye.
Yeah, I was like,
everyone was through the eye. I think they drilled a couple holes. Well,
they probably drilled a couple holes. Yeah. In the, you know, the more archaic lobotomies.
They had to start somewhere.
At the beginning.
Yeah.
100%.
Here's my one. Like, did they even have like one success story? Like, how did they justify?
Sure. The probably someone who was crazy that they did that. And he was now lethargic and they're like, dude, fixed him.
Hey, listen. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, yeah. You got grandma's, you know, seeing voice. You hear grandma's talking to people that aren't there. Now all of a sudden she's not in your house. Now she's not in your house. That's a success story at this time. You're like, hey, we're not dealing with her. Perfect. Phenomenal. It just struck me as no one saw any kind of problem with bringing all these people that are hearing voices to the most haunted place in all the land.
Well, you hide it with the bowling alley and the rooftop terrace and barbecues every day.
Well, I think Dan's right. Like this, this doctor was, under his understanding, was using like state-of-the-art technology to try to potentially treat these people. And he was trying to make it like a nicer place.
Ice picks?
That was though. Like, I'm just sterilized.
Pink was like, yeah.
Yeah, but how many years before this were we fucking leeching people?
Were they even washing hands yet? Had they figured that out?
Probably
I think they did after the Civil War. Like, you Civil know, War, yeah. 1911. Yeah. Yeah. They kind of figured it out. But yeah, it's like, not only was there like lobotomies, but there were other ones that were like, you had, you know, of course, the classic electroshock therapy. Some of the other one was hydrotherapy, where doctors would wrap up their well, it's like you would wrap, they said they would wrap patients up in freezing cold towels. Like, they would just wrap them up in cold towels like a mummy, like as far as
nothing,
it was. And then they
cures the brain like hypothermia.
Or they'd strap them down inside a steaming hot tub for like days.
I can get on board with that one. That one sounds
right. Yeah, I like that. Like, what 104?
People are doing cold tubs all the time. That was state-of-the-art technology back then.
I mean, the only one that now, I think they still kind of, they don't do it in the same way, but like electroshock, they still do that in some fashion. It's probably lower voltage and more directed to the point of the brain they're trying to get to. But I mean, because that's the only one that kind of makes sense, because you know, your brain's an electrical device. You try and shock it in the right way. Maybe it's going to rewire it. Back then, they're like, oh, just strap them up and just turn it up.
I tell you, I've seen lots of videos of people acting crazy and then get some electroshock therapy from the police and they stop acting crazy in a hurry.
That's true.
They just lay on the ground instantly.
Hard and quick.
Stiff as a board. Behavior changed.
So apparently one of the rooms where some of these treatments took place, there was known to be at least one or two or several suicides. And they call this place the suicide bathroom. That's what it's known as now. Like if you go in there, they're like, this is the suicide bathroom. And you're like, oh, that's a good place. Like, yeah. You know, exactly.
Could you not have thrown a lock on that door? That,
yeah. If your building has a suicide bathroom, you're like, all right, well. Over time, like, you had the psychiatric infirmary, like receiving thousands of patients as like kind of people like start, you know, it was doing relatively well, I guess, by their standards.
Everyone's trying to get rid of grandma.
But the thing is like, of course it falls prey to the same thing that happens to a lot of these places, is that you have like the critical understaffing shortage that they end up having. So at one point, I guess in 1945, it was figured out that there was only 48 staff for about 6,500 patients.
That's all right.
That's like our old folks homes here are just as poorly staffed.
Yeah, it's terrifying. It's true.
And they, and like, I mean, they always, you're seeing videos of people beating the seniors, so it hasn't changed too much.
Who's beating the seniors?
You always see videos pop up on like X and shit of someone. Always.
You got a weird feed.
Like, your X feed is fucked up. Yeah.
Brayden's curated speed. You watch 15 minutes. You watch 15 minutes of guys beating up grandmas. Like, yeah. You know, they'll give you more of that. By the 1990s, a lot of the services that St. Albans offered were transferred to another location, like another bigger hospital. And then, like, within a couple of years after that, they closed the hospital
That's
for good.
Bigger than St. Albans? Because isn't, like, St. Albans, like, 6,800 square feet. Like, it's fucking massive.
Well, they have 6,500 patients. Yeah, it's got to be huge.
Yeah. But they, like, moved a lot of that stuff, like, offsite, so then they kind of closed it down, like slowly closed down the building, probably like a more central location, because that place, like, well, I guess it's normally where you'd put a sanatorium. Like, Radford University is like in the middle of nowhere, like down there, like it's not very big. Like, that town that it's near, like Pulaski County, is like super small, which is
you mean like just because you don't have people living in the area to staff this place?
Yeah, or? you wouldn't have that many people living out there. It's Southwest Virginia, and like a lot of stuff's kind of spread out. Like, even like as far as Radford University goes, like Radford's the only thing that's kind of there. Like, it's just a university town, and then you're like 20-25 minutes from Virginia Tech, which is Blacksburg, which is because like just a town for Virginia Tech. But yeah, it's like they moved it to another like centralized hospital that was probably easier to access. I can't remember what the name of the.
I wonder, I would like to know if it was similar to like what we put up with like here. We had a big one somewhat close to us, Riverside, where they slowly started cutting back, and like there were small portions of it that were still open. There's actually some more small portions of it that are still open today. But for the most part, like they attribute the starting of our like homeless population in the downtown east side of Vancouver to the closing of Riverside Hospital.
Yeah. There's at least in the United States, I can't remember the years, but I know there's a time where they shut down. I can't remember if it was like the Reagan administration, but it was a lot of that. It was like where they shut down a lot of these places and then they started to kind of shift away. There's always this, I just remember the idea or people always being like the talking point where it's like, they dumped all of these people out onto the street and they had no place to go. So now you have all this, not only do you have homeless people, but you have mentally ill homeless people.
People who can't function within society without help, right? Like it's...
See, people need help, exactly. That's the bottom line,
It's scary.
People helping people.
Nobody was helping people.
But, you know, St. Albans probably had at least one success story because in the 2000s,
they got one.
Tim Gregory.
They got one.
There were 6,500 people there.
Tim Gregory, who was a previous patient at the hospital.
Great guy. Drools a lot.
He became the property's new owner. And his...
What?
Yeah,
that's a fucking rags to riches story.
Oh, yeah,
from inmate to fucking owner.
Yeah, that's good.
His stated mission was to, or the idea was to renovate it and to become a research and enlightenment center. Is what they said. I think it was going to be some kind of like some new
Scientology
age therapy
2.0
kind
shit.
Of stuff, but. In order to do that, to raise the funds for it, they now is pretty much it's just like a haunted house. Like, I don't think they've changed it much, like, since they closed it down. Because when they closed it down, like, in that short time and during the 90s, I mean, you have this place really close to a college town. Like, just a lot of vandalism, people breaking in, you know. Because, of course, like, you have a creepy sanatorium on the hill.
And you want to go visit and like, hang out there. And, like, it's huge by all accounts. And just
poorly guarded, I'm sure. Like, you know, and they just, like, a bunch of people broken in there. And it's, like, from... You know, the videos I've seen in this place, a lot of that stuff either, you know, is still there or, you know, or they painted it on there. I don't know. But it's like a lot of the hallways are still like just totally just ripped up or, you know, contain just a lot of graffiti and stuff that people have done over the years. But it's now, but they run a haunted, they still maintain it. Like there is still like a building manager or a facility manager and they run like a haunted house out of it every year. And they have ghost tours there, according to TripAdvisor, at least. Like...
I mean, it's a pretty smart business investment. The ghosts are already there.
Yeah.
Right?
You just what else are you going to do?
Yeah. You just sell tickets to them.
But yeah,
there's no upkeep because you want it to be shitty. Right? The shittier, the more dilapidated, the scarier it is.
Yeah, it's going
to
be spooky.
Right?
Like if you fix it up, like the ghosts aren't going
to
be
little to no overhead.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, fucking
yeah, you don't have to pay the ghosts. You don't have to pay the ghosts.
Yeah.
They don't have a union
yet.
But yeah, it has earned the name, as some call it, the most haunted place on the East Coast, as there is a number of spirits and a couple of like named ones that people have had like since we got there. But do we probably want to take a break before we get into the really spooky part?
Short break. Be right back.
Right back. Look, you like Dan, you got a trip to Thailand coming up and you want to impress the locals? Well, then you want Rosetta Stone. It's been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 different languages offered. It's got fast language acquisition. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient, flexible learning anytime, anywhere. Learn on the go with mobile app or at your desktop on your own schedule. Rosetta Stone has amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's a lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
Sure, there's competitors to Rosetta Stone, but Rosetta Stone offers more languages and a lifetime membership. You could go over to Babbel and get 60% off, but it's not for a lifetime. That's why we're promoting Rosetta Stone today. All right, Theorites, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Alien Theorist Theorizing listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your damn life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today or look for the link in the show notes. Peace.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
So, to confirm that this place is the most haunted place on the East Coast, I turned to the only, you know, reliable source of information for these types of things. And I watched an episode of the show Ghost Asylum.
That sounds about right. Ooh, yep.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds
like credible. Yeah.
Right?
I mean, that's what I thought. They're looking into exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's the title of their fucking show. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, Ghost Asylum. So Ghost Asylum, sure? Is it
like Ghost Asylum Seekers? Or Cowboys? Is there any way we can fight this idea?
Ghost seeking political asylum. please fill out this form.
Apparently there's an app.
I know there is, I mean, I think we're all aware of the plethora of ghost shows out there, right? I mean, Not a single one. Not with our Lord and Savior Zach Baggins.
No, like, I'm too scared. That shit, I don't want to be scared.
You're not even scared.
No, I'm just kidding. I love scary shit. My scary shows are great, but these kind of things, they're fucking lame.
So it's like, of course, you got Ghost Adventures. You've got, what are you talking about? Zach Baggins has been possessed on multiple occasions.
Listen, unless you're opening the gates to hell, I don't care.
But they do that on a regular basis. That's what he says. They're always opening the gates to hell in every single episode. I don't know. Yeah, that's what they say.
That's how they open the show. They're like, just to let all the viewers know, be careful watching because we've just opened the gates to hell.
Oh, yeah. It's UFO Cowboys as well. So this one came out, I guess the last season like aired in like 2014. So, you know, maybe they found ghosts, but
there's only so many asylums. You can't make new asylums.
Yeah, sure.
You pigeonholed yourself with the name Ghost Asylums. You're like, shit, guys.
No, because you could do asylums. Then you got to do the sanatoriums. Then you got to do the fucking infirmaries and lunatic fucking places and places for the hard R's and all that stuff.
Yeah, you could drag out about nine seasons of that show.
It's the slow R. Yeah. Why are you saying the hard R?
It's the slow R.
The slow R, not the hard R. I thought the hard R is the other N-word.
I don't know any other
the hard
one.
R is the N-word?
What are you talking about? That's what I thought.
I don't know that word. That's not my vocabulary.
Yeah.
Well, you could say say the N word with a hard R. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's worse.
Oh,
that's
you mean like version. If you're like rapping? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You
can.
Okay. That's extra. You doubled up if you went that route.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Can't do that.
Yeah, you can't. The slow R isn't as bad.
Slow I had to look up. I had to look up this show.
You'll figure it out.
Exactly what it is. So apparently this series is features a group of ghost hunters who are a paranormal team, and they are known as the Tennessee Wraith Chasers.
Wraith Chasers is a great metal band right there. Boom.
It is a pretty cool. I looked up their, I had to go to their Facebook page. I went to their Facebook page. They are what I found surprising is they are, so I guess it fits in here. So their whole motto kind of for the show, according to
Cowboys,
not necessarily. They're more like, so their motto is like the key to catching a ghost is combining modern scientific method with some serious backwoods Southern know-how. Which serious Southern
Southern know-how?
You gotta get that.
Which
know-how.
I believe the Southern backwoods Southern know-how apparently is, I guess, some sort of like that might be a euphemism for like like evangelical lassoing? Christian stuff, because they always, I don't know if they always do it, but at least in this one, and I'm pretty, this was like the second season.
Do they
season,
let
though.
Snakes bite them before they go in?
No, but they always say, they always say a pretty serious prayer before they go in, you know, and start off their investigation, you know, with amen. That, so
I'm going to put that on my resume from now on, is when people are like, what makes you qualified? I'll be like, just a little bit of that Southern know-how, you know?
Yeah, Southern Okanagan, buddy.
Yes, Southern something. They don't even know exactly where.
They can switch it to Northern know-how.
Yeah. Just got some of that Northern know-how.
So, wait, everybody's like, south of somewhere.
Are all these people who, like, this is a stupid question, but these people that are in these ghost shows that believe in all these, like, if you're going to believe in ghosts, you obviously believe in fucking God and Jesus and shit, right? Like, that kind of goes hand in hand. I'd imagine, right?
I don't know if it does.
Depends. No? Depends. You could be like, if you go, some of these shows, it's more like the ghosts are manifestations of like energy. They are a type of energy. It doesn't necessarily.
So you're not like demons or.
No, some do. Okay. Some believe like in demons, or whether it's some kind of different type of evil manifestation. I guess you can still say good and evil, but it doesn't necessarily have to be within the Christian mindset. But this one definitely is, because I went to their Facebook page. There's a lot of posts about a lot of like, you know, like AI generated like cross photos, like, you know, bless the day Sunday, you know, a lot of that stuff, which is fine. It's like, yeah, okay.
Why listen? You're going to all these different asylums. Like, you're going to want to have Jesus on your side.
Yeah,
just in case, it doesn't hurt.
Just having holy water and a squirt gun.
So also their whole aim was to be the first like paranormal team to track a ghost, is what I got from watching this show.
Dude. Are we talking Man Tracker but Ghost Tracker? Oh, that would be a great show. That's a great idea.
Feeling, tasting for sulfur.
So yeah.
Oh yeah. This place is definitely paranormally activated.
We're getting close. Yeah.
So they
smell the ectoplasm.
Dusters. any reason why we could get all four of us have matching dusters for a show called Ghost Trackers? But if that's the show, we also have to have, we're the Ghost Trackers, but we're also known as the South Okanagan. Ghost.
That's
Wranglers.
Ghost Chasers.
Central Okanagan, like, Charm, two, actually.
They always have two names. You know, is that like they got the show name and then they got like another name for the group? And you're like, well, why wasn't the show just named that?
Yeah, I can't. Well, it was taken. Yeah, because like they call Taps or whatever is not called Taps. It's just Ghost.
That's Skywatchers. That would be a good name for a show. Yeah. We should steal that.
No, that's what that's the name of the group in UFO
that's
Cowboys.
That's what I'm saying. That's,
and we steal it as the show name.
So no, they don't.
Yeah, we're like, our show's called Skywatchers and our group's called the UFO Cowboys. We flip it on them.
Yeah. Just do parody shows of all
we
those shows.
We can do it better.
So on their, during their investigation of this, of St. Albans, like they spoke to Marcel Hanauer, who is a property manager there. And she definitely had some stories, talking about staff that they had, that they have working there, have reported a number of things, you know, creepy sounds, whether it's, you know, footsteps where there shouldn't be footsteps, you know, in down the hallways, these dark hallways and whatever. And then I think she said they had, at one point they were having like a hiring session with like two, prospective employees. And like one of them like freaked out. Like they had like a couple, they heard some sounds and they just like bolted out of the room and like, it's like, I can't be here. I think they hire them to actually like give like historical tours of the place. Like that's still is what,
well, I feel like you wouldn't apply unless you kind of had like a strong fucking constitution, you know, like, yeah, you could fucking do with this.
Well,
shit.
Or it's one of those things where you're like, oh, this sounds like a fun summer job working at a tourist trap. And that's then you go there, you're like, it's not a trap. Or it is a trap. I don't know.
Well, it's like one of those things where I've always wondered, let's like, you got fucking Shaggy and Scooby-Doo that are fucking working for, you know, they're hunting ghosts and shit, but they're the biggest pussies around. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah, true.
Right.
So of the spirits that are said to inhabit and manifest within St. Albans, there are a couple that are relatively well known. One of the most popular ones is what people have come to name as Red Eyes. Ooh. And it is,
oh, baby.
It normally people say it manifests itself because, I mean, it's as it's named appropriately, that it has like two red eyes, glowing red eyes in the dark. And they're saying usually it is in, you know, different areas of the building. But not only people say that the impression that they get from this manifestation is that it's not just like a single spirit. It is like an overarching or like an amalgam of the evil and pain and cruelty within the building. Like it has manifested itself into this one entity is what a lot of people seem so to agree on.
Kind of like
on.
An Opossumus Prime, like everything combining into one creature.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
After his friend,
opossums,
like all the possums.
Crazy. Oh, right, right. Oh, yeah.
It's like the king rat king.
Yeah.
That's what Sasquatch is. It's all possums tangled together.
Yeah. Then there was another one that they said there is a ghost of a patient that they said was known as Becca, and this one they attached a creepy story to where apparently the legend goes that there was a patient who had a stillborn child
pickled.
And then managed to put it like in a jar
You're talking pickle baby, huh? Yeah. Pickle baby.
She kept this jar like in her room in a closet until some staff ended up finding it. And then after they took it away, they say that she committed suicide. In the suicide bathroom.
Oh, man. Who did that to? Was it, what's her name? Is it Celise Baratheon? What's Stannis' wife's name?
I don't remember.
Remember she pickled all her fucking fetuses there.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah. I mean, why were the nurses like, you just can't keep this because it's creepy?
Like, because it's, yeah, unsanitary. I mean, can't just keep
it. Well, okay, they were fucking ice picking each other back then. Well,
again, yeah. They're like, well, you can't keep this one. So then,
this one of these. Like, come on. Like, get him a Tamagotchi or some shit. Like, don't be putting your baby in a fucking jar. That's fine.
It's good. Yeah,
it's one of the other suspected spirits is said to have, and this is where they combined a little bit of a, there's a bit of a cold case here, where you had a, they had.
I wish Dan said that and then just went silent.
They have, in the area is associated with the murder of Gina Hall, who at the time of her murder, she was an 18-year-old freshman at Radford University. And like they convicted a person. Stephen Epperly of her murder. But the thing is, it's what's unusual about the case is they never found the body.
He was so the first person convicted of murder in Virginia without having a victim's body.
They just
when
knew.
Was this?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's so the story goes, on the evening of June 28th, 1980, Gina Hall left her apartment in Radford, traveling to a nightclub at the Marriott Inn located in Blacksburg. Dan mentioned already Blacksburg. Miss Hall met Stephen Epperly at the club shortly after midnight. Gina and Stephen traveled together to a friend's residence at Clater Lake, located in Pulaski County. At approximately 1:30 a.m., Miss Hall called her sister and advised her that she was out at the lake with a guy named Stephen and that she wouldn't be home till approximately 6 a.m. So she doesn't come home in the morning. The sister gets a little weirded out, kind of puts out a missing persons report. They ended up finding her unattended vehicle, which was at less than a mile from St. Albans Sanitarium on Hazel Hollow Road, which is a spooky ass name for a road.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Right? That's... Come on now. Under a railroad trestle. So Stephen Epperly, who we're talking about, he is a Radford local. He was a teacher at the time. His DNA was found in her vehicle that was left at the scene. So obviously, you know, he was the last known person with her. So he's already a fucking, you know, suspect.
Oh, yeah.
He maintained his innocence the entire time, but he ends up becoming the first person in the history of Virginia to get arrested without there being the presence of a body.
Is he saying ghosts?
Pardon?
Is he saying ghost? Like, is he like, it wasn't me, it's ghost.
No, we don't know, maybe. But this is where we can tie in St. Albans a bit here. The sister never really gave up looking for her sister's body, right? They want that kind of closure, I would imagine, right? So in 2009, her sister reached out to this forensic pathologist who's kind of working on a new technique where they're able to get DNA from soil samples. And so they go all the way around the New River area, which is, we've talked about New River. And they found 8 different locations with Gina's DNA in it, which was interesting. Mm. So now how this ties to St. Albans is Epperly supposedly used to work at St. Albans. And he used to take his friend, after it was closed down, he used to take his friends to the fucking site, into the bowling alley where, you know, he used to work, and they'd hang out, crush beers, hang out. So they speculate that this is the area where he dismembered Gina Hall's body. And that's why when you go down in the bowling alley, that's the ghost you see. You call her name, he's called Gina, and she appears.
I think there's part of it where people are saying that he may, like, I don't think he would have, but it's like he managed to like incinerate her body is one of the things that had got rid of it. People like suspect he got rid of it by incinerating her body in like the boiler room down there or whatever. And it's like,
well, he had intimate knowledge of the facility. Yeah.
But yeah, that's what people are saying, is that Gina's spirit still haunts there. And that was definitely part of this episode of the Ghost Asylum, where they were trying to, like, they interviewed the lieutenant of the Radford Police Department, and I was like, it's like, okay, they're like, yeah, she's there, or perhaps still there.
Well, call the Ghostbusters. What the fuck you want from me? Like, what am I gonna do?
All the Tennessee Wraith Wranglers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the lieutenant's like, well, you know, maybe you guys can speak to the spirit down there and get us some information. Because, you know, that reliable ghost information would definitely fly in court.
Yeah, so the ghost haunts where the murder takes place, not where the body is, right? That tracks.
Yeah.
That would make sense to me, right? Because that's where the soul is leaving the body. So it's trapped.
Where the torment that takes place is where the ghost is deposited in this.
Yeah. Right. So that makes sense. That's why the ghost is still there.
Right.
For sure.
Unless you get into the water supply.
Right. Yeah.
If you're murdered, body, thrown into water. Yeah.
Then it's everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. That whole river is haunted.
What happens if you drink from that river? Are you haunted?
I think so.
Yes.
But then you, what if
you, until you like, pee it out.
That's what I mean, right?
No. Yeah, it gets absorbed.
Unless you have like a kidney condition or something.
Yeah. Well, what about the portion that gets like absorbed into your blood? Huh?
That's what leaching is for.
Mm. Okay. Well, we have to do a test, I guess. Yeah. We're going to have to find two
drink
rivers.
Some potted water.
Kill a few people, throw them into one.
Well, Zell's got to drink some cursed water. So basically, you got to go over to Shannon Lake and take a cup out of there.
Why Shannon Lake?
Ghosts.
Haunted. I mean, Okanagan Lake's got tons of deaths in it every year, so it's got to be haunted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
take
for
a
sure.
sip from there. I mean, I've taken sips from there accidentally, so I guess I am haunted.
So another piece of this, interesting piece of the show that I was watching was that they, it's very, I kind of enjoyed it a little bit because they have this other they have a segment of the show where they build like ghost traps.
Nice.
So it's very, to me, it's very Mountain Monster-ish, where it's like they build like these little contraptions that they figure will
capture. Yeah, like you get a stick and a rock and you prop it up.
You're not right? Far off with what they built for this. You're not very far off. So their whole idea was this, is like since the land has some Native American Native American associations with the land, they figured that they were going to use what they a dream catcher to kind of like what they called it. And is like, so they built this little box. It's not even a box. It's like it's a wooden frame. It was a wooden box frame with copper wire kind of stringed out throughout it, like in like a spider web fashion. Then they took what they called a quartz prism, but it looked suspiciously like just a glass crystal ball. And they put that in the middle. And then they electrified the copper wire with like a battery. And they're like, this is, and then they took a picture of Gina Hall and they put it underneath the orb, like inside there, which the plan was to capture a ghost
in the
prism. Like this is what they firmly believed seemed was going to happen.
Buddy fucking that owns the place would have been like, no, it's my number one fucking
hit. Yeah, what are you doing?
Like, what are you doing?
So I thought it was funny because they did go shopping as they do in most of these, or they went like, you know, did a little local run around, and it's like they went to Main Street, which was like, I knew where they were. I was like, oh yeah, like that's where I went to school. I was like, I used to walk down that road. I thought it was interesting. So they went to like this, they went to this one shop and it's just a big stoner shop. Like it's all it is. And they're like, where are you going to get dream catchers? And like, oh, this shop looks good. Bunch of tie dye and like Rastafarian hats. Yeah. Just like, that's all it was.
Smoke shop.
Yeah. That was pretty much all it was. And they're like, oh, let's get a couple quartz crystals while we're at it. And
ours was called Wigwam.
Oh yeah. Wigwam.
I used to buy all my t-shirts from there.
So yeah, it was, they threw that quartz prism in there and they turned on their thing and they did their little ghost hunting thing. They have a ghost box in that show, which has a very noticeably spooky voice. It's not the speak and spell one like they have in Ghost Adventures. It's like one that is like sounds extremely sinister, and it's like they're, you know, asking it and it's like, how long have you been here? And it's like, always. It's like, oh, okay.
Oh, shit. Got some jewel going on there.
Yeah. Like Jesus. So they did their little ghost investigation with their dream catcher contraption put up there. And I'm like, if you're going to catch a ghost, I guess they did this every episode. I didn't watch any other episodes. The only one I watched, but I guess that's like their thing is to build traps to track and catch ghosts is their
in a goal. Southern style.
That's their Southern know-how, yeah, right? You know, yeah. it's stick with a rock, basically. You know, that's Southern know-how. Freaking... So that's good.
Does the rock have to be a certain composition, like a certain amount of iron or
Well, quartz. They said quartz.
Quartz, okay.
They said quartz. That since quartz
does trap energy. That's right.
That is what, yeah, that's what they said.
It's a little Southern know-how.
That's a Southern know-how. Yeah. Yeah. It's not just a stick in a rock. It's a special kind of rock.
Is it a
special kind of stick? What kind of wood is the stick?
They just used it. It looked like just regular.
It's like a pine branch.
So they're walking around with
could have been just like
Gandalf.
I don't know.
Gandalf staffs. Is that what you're describing here?
It didn't look like any sort of special like blessed stick or anything.
No, when you're looking for a stick to trap a ghost, you don't choose the stick. The stick chooses you.
No, that makes sense.
All right.
Yeah. That tracks.
Yeah, it's got to be shaped like a gun.
Yeah.
those are the best sticks.
But these guys were on the cutting edge because they took that crystal ball. Like they did their investigation. Two of the guys said they saw red eyes for sure. They felt like when they specifically kind of staked out the bowling alley, they felt like that was one of the most paranormally activated spots within the building. Like two of them were down there and they said that they got a bunch of feeling, you know, heebie-jeebie feelings. And one of them said that something kept messing with his ear, I guess, kept flipping on his ear or something like that. So they kind of freaked out. And I guess that also qualifies the guy who's like, the ghost is trying to figure out our weaknesses. And I was like, what? Wait, it's like, just like poking at your ear. Yeah, so interesting.
Yeah, just trying to feel
Achilles
figure out where you are.
Yeah. So, so they definitely felt like something was down there. And one of them said that he definitely saw the red eyes down there. With the ghost trap, they kind of felt like one of two things was going to happen. They were either going to capture the spirit of Gina Hall, or what they had, their theory was that red eyes, and this kind of tracks with something that I'll bring it back to that lecture that I attended when I was at university at Radford.
We get it. You have a college education.
The theory is that red eyes is kind of like, it's one of these, and I think we've talked about this on a couple other ones about hauntings, where it's like you have an entity that is like actively keeping other spirits there.
Oh, collecting them.
Right. So it's like, it's not like its own kind of thing. It can either, it might be an amalgam or something like that, but
Ghost Master.
But yeah, it's like, it is the... the keeper of these things.
Yeah.
Or like it won't let them go to the other side because it is actively preventing that. And this is the lecture that I talked to. The spirit medium said that was the kind of the feeling that he got when he felt out, you know, his sixth sense was telling him was that there's something over this. Like he said that he had spoken to like one of the spirits and it was like, and said that, he got the feeling that something stopped it from talking, communicating with him, like after like a while. And it was like there was something there bigger than that spirit of the child that he was communicating with. He said it was a young boy. And that this other overarching entity was like keeping them there. And this goes with what the idea that the Tennessee Wraith Chasers was that they were going to try and either get the spirit of Gina Hall into their prism or trap the Red Eyes, is what they believe is the entity, and then allow other spirits to communicate with them.
So I think Red Eyes is the bad one. The one keeping everybody there.
Yes. That's what most, I think, is the consensus for that one, for this case. So that was interesting.
The idea of having like somewhere that's so haunted that it like all these haunted spirits kind of like either like meld together to form some sort of like super spirit or just like something is drawn there from the other side that's like, perfect, these are all my pets and I now keep them as my little ghost slaves. It's like some sort of beacon to this other kind of entity. It's just terrifying to me that you would like either way that you go with that one. I'm like, don't like, not a big fan.
Shut it down.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Well, so their approach to this was they took this quartz prism after they had their seance and their lock-in during their investigation, and they put it in some kind of device that they have back at their base or something, and it's like it looks like some kind of like pressure box, I don't know, but they put the orb in there, and all I could read were like the labels underneath some of like the gauges and the switches and stuff, and some of the labels, and they're not like printed metal labels. It's like somebody took a label maker and put it on there. But some of them were like Firefly, Force Field, Hellfire. I was like, what do those buttons do? What does the Hellfire button do? I want to know.
I'm intrigued. I would like to know.
They put it in there. And I think they felt like they said that they didn't like really feel like maybe the quartz crystal had really gotten anything. And one of the crew members like commented saying that, oh, you know, maybe it got lost like as we took it out, like it and we were driving back to our base, like it left, and so, you know, maybe I was like, wait,
this
so
the you worst just drop ever.
Yeah, I was like, wait, you just dropped off just Red dropped Eyes as ghost bomb? Like in the middle of nowhere, like
a ghost bomb.
Yeah, he could have just been in somebody's drive house now. Bomb. Yeah. I was like, I feel like you're pretty
irresponsible.
This. Exactly. I was like,
would they
you,
leave
like,
it on top of the car
out?
Like a fucking coffee?
You remember that asshole showed up and fucking released all the ghosts from the Ghostbusters place? Yeah. Like, that's what this guy just did.
Yeah. I was like, you were horribly irresponsible that you didn't lock that thing up and then being like in a lead box or something and being like, okay, like, yeah. And then they're like, no, maybe it got loose on the way here. And I'm like, what? You just let that Red Eyes ghost just wander around wander around southwestern Virginia now, probably took residence up in somebody's house.
The majority of Virginia is haunted anyways.
That's true.
Anybody really right gonna in. Notice?
Yeah, that's true. But it's like, I don't know. According to them, it was pretty haunted. So, you know, if we get down there and put a stamp on it, haunted, most haunted place on the East Coast.
Yeah, well, it sounds terrifying, everything about it. Like anytime people are like somewhere where they house crazy people on top of some sort of burial site where
dead
lots
babies,
of people died.
Scalpings,
and I'm like, more,
anywhere good. People burning to death.
Yeah.
Saying like, that though, I would love to go on a ghost hunt like that.
You can.
Would you want to do a ghost hunt?
Yeah, I would love to do a ghost hunt.
Yeah.
Some people, maybe not this one, the major complaint on TripAdvisor about this, the ghost tours here is that there's too many people. Apparently they have large groups of like 20, 22 people. Like,
yeah, you got to go in. They're like, yeah. The thing about ghost hunting is it would be way scarier if you went with no equipment, no recording devices, just like a headlamp and a few people.
Yeah.
You're not going to get the content out of it, but as for the scare factor, just for you personally being there.
Yeah, the stories.
Scary.
Especially if you went in and you didn't come out.
No, okay, well then you'd be dead.
Yeah, but then no, you don't leave any recording stuff behind. No one, it's even way more of a mystery.
Mm. Yeah, there's only 18 reviews. They're not all good. Waited in line for over 3 hours. What is this, Six Flags?
I think they definitely run a haunted house out of there every Halloween.
Yeah, like they have a gift shop at the end.
That's why you buy those quartz fucking.
That's why you buy your own pickle babies. Yeah. Commemorative, your St. Albans commemorative pickle baby. But it's like, yeah, there's, you know, we talk about it all the time. If there's a place that would definitely be haunted, it would be one of these areas where you had these, you know, inhumane procedures done on people, cruelty, like that again was at the time.
Cruelty
is still
going on. You have people waiting 3 hours. Yeah, that's terrible. That's ungodly.
I mean, yeah, it's like that's almost as worse as giving a person a lobotomy is making them wait 3 hours to go on a ghost tour.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, and you know, I would be very much that this is one of those morals. It's like, you know, the best intentions he had. You know, he was going to make a better place, and then it got
rooftop terrace and a bowling alley. He was on the right. He wanted to do well.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. He wanted to provide a safe space. Then they ended up with 100-to-1 patient ratio.
Yeah. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Mm-hmm.
They never stopped.
But the money he was raking in when it was 6,500 to 49 or whatever.
He was making bank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, yeah. I don't think he cared.
Yeah, it's just like, this is one of the, I guess, yeah, that's what it said in a couple places where it was like, it is the most haunted place on the East Coast, which is like, it's in southwestern Virginia. In the middle of nowhere. And I don't know. Well, Tennessee race chasers say it was haunted, so I believe them. That Southern.
Sounds like Southern XFL know-how. Team.
Yeah. They could be.
That would be a good name for the Wraith Chasers XFL. Good XFL team name.
What I just said about 30 seconds ago.
Jesus.
Oh, did you say Christ XFL?
I thought you said NFL. I said it would be a good metal band earlier in the show. Andrew just said it'd be a good XFL, and then you just immediately just said the exact same thing.
It'd be good XFL.
A good metal band and XFL. Shit.
You know what else? It'd be a good metal band too, actually.
It'd be a good metal band to play at halftime at an XFL show.
Is the XFL back? Didn't they rock by it or something?
They said it was, but
didn't they have one season? I don't know.
They only had one season actually, and then they were going to bring it back, and they were going to mix in the AFL or something like that.
Okay,
and it just never came to fruition.
Stuck in limbo.
Vince McMahon just got another fucking sexual assault.
Oh yeah,
shut it down.
And they're like,
shut it down.
Distance ourselves.
Yeah.
Which is like, surprise no one. Like,
no. people are just slowly realizing that like Mr. McMahon is not a character.
That's a fucking maniac.
That's actually worse. That's actually a toned down version of like who he is.
Oh no, he sexually assaulted tons of chicks in the area.
Yeah. That was just
it was all part of the show. Yeah. So it was fine, right?
It was just characters.
No, it happened.
No.
Yeah. Right in front of everybody. It's horrible.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways, haunted. Maybe the most haunted place. I mean, the only way we can find out for sure is to go there on our own.
We're gonna bring our own quartz prisms and ghost traps.
Okay, let's go. Our next pod trip, let's go to Virginia. We'll go to Colonial Williamsburg. We'll go to fucking.
Yeah. We can use all our new cameras that we're getting to. We can all have our vlog cameras going. Hey guys.
If you need a place,
it's the Wraith Chasers.
It's the Wraith Chasers.
I guess all of Virginia would be haunted because there are actually, Virginia has no natural, I think we have one natural lake. It's all rivers. So if you have one person die in a river, then it's pretty much, the whole place is haunted.
No, but that's what I think a lake would be more haunted because the water stays, has a longer residency time, they say.
Yeah, but if you had a person die in the lake, well, just one lake, one person die in that one lake, then everywhere's haunted.
Yeah, right? True. Well, they'd have to die under.
Is it get diluted? Reasons. Is it,
these are all questions that need to be asked.
This is true. Like
oil need answers. Well, we live on one of the most haunted lakes in the world, then, for sure.
We get a lot of deaths on the lake.
Okanagan Lake killed Lake Lanier.
Yeah.
This year, it's like, Lake Lanier.
Yeah. Just like numbers.
Get your numbers up, Lake Lanier.
Lake Lanier, 2024 deaths.
You gotta go last year, 2023 deaths.
2023? Okay, we'll go 2020.
2024 is not over yet. Well, unless you're already being in
the fucking summer
13
season,
deaths in Lake Lanier.
Yeah, none. That's barely anything.
Okanagan Lake deaths.
13,000.
2023,
29. Wow. Dude, blew it out. Lake Lanier is supposed to be the most haunted lake in the world. Nah. Yeah, right. We're giving that to Okanagan Lake now. Yeah.
BC has not.
They don't even have an Ogopogo.
Dude, BC has something like 10,000 lakes of different sizes. Something like that. Yeah. Something ridiculous. 100 people have died in all those lakes combined, and 25% were just in Okanagan Lake.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, something's in, dude. It's fucking Ogopogo.
Ogopogo. Yeah. There's a cryptid show on the other day, and they were doing Ogopogo, and they were talking about all the places.
Was it Mike Tyson Mysteries?
No, it wasn't Mike Tyson Mysteries. It was called A Boogeyman. It's a Boogeyman series, and then one of them was Ogopogo. Talk about Ogopogo.
Dude, it's a big lake. It's like some 700 or 800 feet deep. At some points, like you could house a lake monster in here.
Yeah,
it's got tunnels that attach to the ocean, underground tunnels. That's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
You can swim all the way
to the hollow earth.
Oh fuck yeah!
Yeah, works on Godzilla.
Yeah, it's all checked out now.
They fell there with Kong.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So it's like, for sure. And it's like, yeah, so like, if there are going to be kaijus coming out, it's
so, anyway, so Ogopogo is a kaiju, is what you're saying.
But yes, oh, yeah. Now, 100%, that, yeah. Now that really makes a lot more sense. A lot of doubt. Yeah.
It's a terrifying lake serpent.
So not only is it haunted, but it also has a kaiju. Twofer.
Man, this got put Okanagan Lake in one of the top deadliest lakes in all of the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, 2023. They're putting up some like goat numbers.
Putting up numbers.
Yeah,
they call them accidental drownings.
Yeah, there was a week where we did two calls with deaths in the lake.
So these are
one of them we couldn't even.
These
find.
Are just the drownings. What about all the discarded bodies?
Yeah, those are just the ones we know of. The official ones. The unofficial number is probably higher.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Case file 336, the mysteries of Okanagan Lake.
Of the most haunted lake.
Even if we did a pod trip here and could get both of you guys here, worth it.
That'd be fun. Some dive gear. Get some dive gear, go out to Rattlesnake Island and try and find them.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
You can't see more than 5 feet under the water, but we'll look.
Actually, we could fucking we could give her. It'd be fun.
It'd be the cheapest to do the.
So I mean,
just do the pod trip from home
to drink
this summer.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but you know what though? Like, we'd have to be like, listen, we could work. We'd have to like get an Airbnb or something. So we're not.
That's true.
Everybody's away from home. You know.
Yeah. Stay at my parents' Business. Airbnb.
No.
So you get the phone call and you'd be like, oh, I gotta go.
Yeah, shit himself again.
Yeah.
All right.
Can't get him to do anything.
We got some new supporters.
There's only one person I'm going to read this week.
Okay. Must be super special.
Oh, yeah.
He is. Of all donors. Yes.
So he's Pod Daddy. He has specifically asked me not to say his real name.
So his name is Pod Daddy.
Or how much he donated.
Pod Daddy.
Yeah.
But all I'm going to say is his Discord name is Big Fat Monkey. And he has donated a sizable sum of money to the show.
Yes.
He's our Pod Daddy.
Yeah. We thought he was joking at first when he's like, he sent this little handwritten contract. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. No, he fucking sent it. So if he continues, if he follows through with what he's saying, he will surpass the number one supporter of all time, Drew Baca.
God damn.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
So, Big Fat Monkey. Yeah, theorite of the week. Theorite of the month. Theorite of Spooktober.
Theorite of the year. The decades.
Yeah, theorite of the year. Yeah, we'll give it to earlier this year.
No, we didn't even do theorite of the year here last year.
He's got it. He got it last year.
And this year.
Yeah.
He bought his way to the top.
Retro.
Bought his way to the top.
Yeah. Retro activated.
Yeah, super.
No, it helps the show. It helps us get some new gear. And
fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Absolute beauty.
Awesome.
I won't, we won't, we'll honor his identity, his mystique.
We're going to be ATTHD in a second.
Yeah.
We will have the potential here pretty soon.
It's going to be a mistake.
Yeah, you might see stuff you don't want. All these dark cameras, though. We got to get a little light on these boys.
Oh, that's when you started working out. So
yeah, I mean, I started running again to shave off a couple pounds off the old jawline.
Yeah, I'm going to get one of those. Jumped on the Ozempic train like me.
Make sure you microdose your Ozempic.
Braden is spending all the Cosmic Channel's donations on Ozempic, actually, to help the show.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing. Yeah. It's a Ozempic.
Expense. It's a business expense.
Ozempic and EpiPen.
Yep. It's a hell of a combo.
Double dart.
Yeah. You like tape them together.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. All right. That's it for this week. Spooktober will continue.
We'll see you next week. Keep those eyes on the skies.
Peace.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overrule. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.